And that is, don't lie about your blessing. Very important. There are many ways that men and women sometimes choose to deceive others or to lie about their blessings from God. That's the one thing we should not do, because God is so good to us. It is said that there are 5 kinds of followers in Christianity. There is, it is pointed out, the far off followers, those who follow Christ from far off. That's not good followers. Secondly, it is pointed out that there is the fish and bread followers. Those two are not good followers. There is also, it is pointed out, the contentious followers. They are the one who always make mischief and such like in the church. Those are not good followers. Then there is the glory seekers followers. That is, the ego is always in the forefront. But in addition to these 4 kinds of followers, there is the sincere followers. And that's the one that Jesus Christ seeks. That's the one we should seek to be sincere followers of Jesus Christ. Now, the sincere followers of Jesus Christ never lie about their blessings from God. And instead of going, as I had planned this lesson, I want to take up an area in not lying about your blessing from God. I want to look on it from the other side. Seek ways in which you will always be thankful to the Almighty God. And from Old to New Testament, this is what God's Word demonstrates. Let us first look at a passage found in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, and verse 16 and 17. Acts 14, verse 16 and 17. Let us hear it.
Who in time past suffered all nations.
Now, Paul is speaking, and he had just taken step to put a brake on idolatry. After he and his company performed a noteworthy miracle, they ran to worship Paul and his company. Brother Mitchell, shouldn't Paul be glad about that? No, you do not glad about men giving you that which belonged to God. They were about to worship Paul John, I think Barnabas and others. So Paul hastily took step to put a stop to that. But he did not simply put a stop to that. He gave them some teaching. Let us hear it.
Who in time past.
He's telling them about the Almighty God, the true God, who is to be worshipped.
Suffered all nations.
Who in time past, remember, you read King James, the word suffer there means permit. Suffer little children to come unto me. Permit little children to come unto me.
To walk in their own ways.
That's right. God in time past permitted the various nations to walk in their own ways. That's a fact. And that is covering the entire Old Testament period, where God permitted men and women to just, to a great extent, did their own thing.
Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness.
Watch here now. Even in the time of the Old Testament period, patriarchal time, the Mosaical period, those were all times of ignorance. The Almighty God in those times of ignorance and darkness still provide sufficient help for men and women to understand that there is a God. He did not leave himself without witness. But it is striking to note what God's witnesses were. Definitely they were not the Jehovah witnesses. That's right. Read.
In that he did good.
Watch here now. He's listing God's witnesses.
And gave
and
us.
You might go, how does that relate to the sermon of be thankful to God? It has direct relationship to that. That verse again started, brother. In that
he did good.
That's one of God's witnesses.
And gave us rain from
giving
heaven.
Giving us rain from heaven is another of God's witnesses.
And fruitful seasons.
Fruitful season. Now it's mango season. You know, God is great.
Amen.
You see, brother, I keep saying, because that's the way I feel, we don't have to see awesome things to realize God's greatness. Just some of the simple daily blessing should enough to remind us of the graciousness, the kindness, but the awesome greatness of the Almighty God.
Filling our hearts with
food
and gladness.
Gladness.
And with these sayings.
Stop there. All these are God's witnesses. You notice that all of the things mentioned are kindness from God to humanity. Amen. The three or four things are general areas of kindness, goodness, benevolence that God showered on humanity as long as we have been here. In all of these, there are things to be thankful to the Almighty God for. Amen. Wait. I'm not saying that there are not things that we sometimes shed tears about, things that make us sorrowful, things that bring sadness. Yes, in life, we will experience unpleasant, undesirable experiences because we live in a sinful world. And don't expect in a sinful world to have things perfect, flawless, that you would have in a perfect world. But Job says, that man that is born of a woman will experience many problems. So this life comes with its challenges. And a lot of times there are many. And for some people, it seems as if they have more challenges than others. But be mindful that if you are one of those brothers or sisters that sometimes feel like that, the Almighty God will give you the strength adequate to the challenge you face. He never gives us more than we can bear. We must always be mindful of that.
That's right.
Thanksgiving. All the things mentioned in the passage read Acts 14, 16, 17 are things that we are to be thankful about. Remember, never lie about your blessings. As I've said, this aspect of that lesson, I choose to deal with it first. Then, if we don't get to the other aspect, then on another lesson Sunday night or whenever it will be shared. I just want to look on the important subject of thanksgiving here. Being thankful to God, being mindful of God's graciousness, God's goodness, God's kindness towards us. Look on how particular Old Testament character got involved in the outflow of gratitude and thankfulness. Let us run to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 29, verse 2 to verse 3 and 10 to verse 13. Let us hear it. I term this outflow of gratitude and thankfulness to the Almighty God. And we are looking at the Old Testament here. Let us hear the passage. 1 Kings chapter 29, verse 2 and 3.
2 Kings.
I think I want First King. I might have given you the
First Kings ends at 22, chapter 22.
Just a minute, 2 and 3. First Chronicles, same 29. First Chronicles, 29, 2 and 3. Same verses I mentioned before.
Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God.
I want to notice something here. In our vacation Bible school coming up, I was sort of pulled between three very important topics. But the one I've chosen is the one that I mentioned this morning, and that is usable material. Quite interesting study, as we are going to be examining for those 4 days of VBS some of the character that the Almighty God chose to use. And it will be fascinating how when you look on some of these men and women, you would never have chosen them. But how the Almighty God saw in them things that we could never see, and how God used mightily some of these men and women. Starting out with the flaws that were in their lives and how they overcame these flaws. Usable material. So we get back now to the passage of 1 Chronicles 29, and you're at verse what, 2 or 3?
2. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold.
Solomon was the one who built the temple because the Almighty God put a stop to David wanting to build him a house. God told David, you shed too much blood. You will not build me a temple. But you know what, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, as many of you know, David wanted to have a part in building this place for God. And this, what the brother is reading here in verse 2, is David expressing his own desire to participate in building the temple. Start again, brother. Verse 2.
Now I have prepared with all my might.
I have prepared with all my might.
For the house of my God, the gold.
Notice how he personalized it. With all my might. For the house of who?
My God.
My God. Read on.
The gold, for the things be made of gold.
That is, he's listing the different top quality metal that he has put aside, selected for the temple. The gold.
And the silver.
The silver.
And the brass.
The brass.
And the iron.
The iron.
And the wood.
And the wood.
Onyx stones.
And the stone.
Glistering stones.
Mm-hmm.
Diverse colors.
Uh-huh.
And all manners of precious stones.
Uh-huh.
And marble stones and in abundance.
Uh-huh.
Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God.
You need to notice these personalized phrases. My God. Keep in mind, that's the same man that God said, you will not build me the temple. But he had gotten okay from God that he can start putting material together. And he went all out to select the best. Uh-huh. What verse are you?
Still at 3.
Uh-huh.
I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver.
Well, read that again.
I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver.
I wonder if every one of us understand it. It wasn't from taxation. He was the king. What he's contributing was not from taxation. It was from his own holding. We get it? I pointed out that for about 2 years or 3 years though, we didn't have any lesson on giving. And what I have been taught over the years by experienced church leaders, who have been in the business long before from I was probably a boy, is that because members of Christ's body and people in general tend to, that is one of the areas of their religious or spiritual life that men and women want to be tardy in. The men and women don't like to part with their material things, even for God. Are we all there? And it is recommended, remember, as a young preacher, experienced men said, make sure you have at least one series of lesson and giving every year to keep the member abreast in what the Bible teaches. Some many weeks ago, I have one or one and a half or two lessons on giving, with the plan that would have probably a few lessons over a period of 2 months. I haven't gotten around to that. But somebody came to me and was commenting, sharing with me a comment that was made, something to the effect, well, in preach and giving last week, where am I preaching it again for? Now, if that was a feeling expressed, that brother or sister doesn't know how much of themselves they are revealing. Are we all there? Because if the Bible teaches about giving, we should have deep interest in learning more of what the Bible teaches. Because that may save us from ending up in hell. David was not afraid or ashamed or covetous towards the thing that God blessed him with. You have read to the end of verse 3?
Well, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house.
You hear that, don't move from the passage. What he's saying, I gave over and above all that I have prepared for the Almighty God and for his house. But step down now to verse 10 through 13 or 14. Let us hear it.
Verse 10. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness.
The greatness is yours.
And the power.
The power is yours, God.
And the glory.
The glory is yours, God.
And the victory.
The victory is yours, God.
And the majesty.
The majesty belongs to you, God.
For all that is in heaven.
For everything that is in heaven.
And in the earth.
And everything that is on earth.
Is thine.
Belong to you, God.
Thine is the kingdom.
Yours is the kingdom.
O Lord.
O Lord.
And thou art exalted as head above all.
And you are exalted as head above all. That's acknowledgement. Amen. David had all reason to glorify God. What verse you stop?
11.
Read on.
Both riches and honor.
Both riches and honor.
Come of thee.
Wait, stop there. Everybody understand that? What David, it doesn't mean here that riches and honor belong to God. It does. What that expression is that, especially among God's people, where honor is achieved, where riches is achieved, it comes from God. It comes from God either permissively or efficaciously. Read on.
And thou reignest over all.
God, you reign over all.
And in thy hand is power and might.
In God's hand is power and might.
And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name.
That's thanksgiving. That's expression of gratitude. That's a man who wanted to give. No doubt, I believe Michael, Brother Myra, brought up the passage. It's one of my favorite passages. When David sinned. And the sin under consideration here was just counting the Israelite, and particularly the emphasis was that of wanting to find out how strong his army was. That looks innocent. And for that sin, the Almighty God would kill more Israelites than probably any time else. And David was sent to offer a sacrifice to appease the angel that God sent. It was that which brought David to the place where Arauna gave him the altar, the instrument for the altar, the cows and the sheep, whatever he needed for the sacrifice. Everything was given to David, free of cost. And David looked on it and told King Arauna that, I will not give unto the Lord that which costs me nothing.
That's right.
Well, what I find astonishing about passage like that is how could men in that age, the Bible referred to as the time of ignorance, how could men reach that depth of conviction under the Old Testament system where they could see that being given the opportunity, watch here now, to offer cheap religion, they could see beyond that and refuse it. Because everything was given to them. David said, I will pay you a price. Neither will I offer unto my God that which costs me nothing. You know what the man is saying? My religion to God, my commitment to God must cost me something. How could an Old Testament character in the age of darkness get into that depth of spirituality? We are to learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving. The passage in fact, look at Acts of the Apostle 27 verse 34 and 35.
Wherefore I pray you to take some meat.
Wait, this is Paul's shipwreck. And here what we are noticing is thanksgiving as a form of witnessing. Paul's ship was wrecked. As I said in a lesson, I don't remember if it was Sunday night gone, that this does not necessarily mean that God sent the strong wind. It might just be the work of nature. I compare this with Jonah's ship and the wind. Jonah's situation was sent by God as a message to Jonah that you cannot run from God. This strong wind that going to wreck the ship was most likely just the work of nature. But Paul was on his way to Rome to go and make his appeal to Caesar where the Almighty God knew that the gospel would reach the palace at Rome. So this is what now Luke is telling us, brother.
Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat.
Paul is encouraging the sailor, the captain, the merchant, and all those who were on the ship, fearing for their lives. They thought that it was their end. Paul says, please, take some food and eat. Read.
For this is for your health.
The food I'm encouraging you to eat is for your health.
For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you.
I like that. How could Paul, I was about to say a mere human being, but he was a human being, but he was more than a human being. He was a child of God. How could he speak so assuredly that not even a hair from your head going to get hurt? They probably was thinking that this man probably was drinking some rum. But he was speaking conscientiously because of his faith and trust in God. Mm-hmm. You see, an angel had appeared to him and tell him that not only is his life will keep free from all arms, but the Almighty God says, those on the ship, I throw them, I give them to you. Read on.
And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them.
Wait, I'm almost sure you missed something here.
Gave thanks to God in presence of them all.
Notice, this is quite important. Lot of the people on the ship, merchant, captain, wealthy travelers. Remember, you have more God in Rome than anything else. If Rome was known for anything, it was Rome known for idolatry. It was easy for Paul to go one side in a little corner and pray to God. But Paul didn't do that. Because in giving God thanks for the food and for whatever else, in that act, he was witnessing to every man and every woman who heard that prayer.
That's right.
That's right. So let us never hide our conviction. Let us never be afraid or ashamed of giving thanks to the Almighty God wherever we are.
Amen.
What verse you stop?
Still 34.
Read on.
Okay. Began to eat.
You are done 35. It was Acts chapter 27, 34 through 35.
Okay, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were all of good cheer. Then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. That's end of 36.
Yes, that's end of 35.
Mm-hmm. 36.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And the point, brothers and sisters, I find it quite interesting that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, point out that he gave thanks in the presence of all.
That's right.
Very important. Instead of going in a corner and whispering a prayer to God, no, sometimes that is called for, where you get away from the confusion and the distraction. You just want to talk to God. But in giving this thanks, Paul wants that prayer to be a witness. It is testifying that there is a true God. Mm-hmm. And the God that delivered the message that not even a hair on their head will be heard. That's the God that Paul prayed to and want them to understand that. Mm-hmm. Well, Lord, so much to share yet. Let me step down to a passage and pick up probably on others when again. I want us to run to the passage of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to verse 5. Thanksgiving. Always seek for opportunity to be thankful to God, making sure that you are sincere about it. That within your own heart, you are giving thanks to God because you are thankful to Him. Look at the importance of prayer, not only as it relates to exalting the Almighty God, not only as it relates to witnessing that there is a God to whom thanks belong, but as it relates to the sanctifying. Did I hear Brother Mitchell say sanctifying? That's right. Are the consecration of things we eat or things we consume. Listen, this passage from verse 3, 1 Timothy, verse 3, 4, and 5.
Verse 3, not given to wine, no striker.
It's 1 Timothy chapter 4.
4?
Yeah, verse 3 to 5.
1 Timothy chapter 4.
I might have given you the wrong passage.
Forbidden to marry,
mm-hmm.
and commanding to abstain from meats,
mm-hmm.
which God had created to be received with thanksgiving.
Stop there a while. Even in that age, you have groups, not only the Jews, you have other groups who were commanding, teaching, spreading falsehood that there are certain animal products that you shouldn't eat. It was wrong. And for them then, in the first century, time of Paul, they would give many reasons on the many levels on which it was wrong to eat animal flesh. This passage is telling you that this falls. Read, brother.
Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Stop there. The meat which God has created to be received, and that receive include consuming, but not just mere consuming, remember to give thanks.
That's right.
To be received with what, brother?
Thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. When God provides for you your meal, is only breakfast Him provide this morning, give Him thanks.
Amen.
Well, Brother Mitchell didn't provide any breakfast or lunch, but Him provide dinner. Give Him thanks.
Amen.
Huh? Read on.
For every creature of God is good.
Everybody hear that? This is inspiration. Every creature of God, it is good.
And nothing to be refused.
Nothing is to be refused.
If it be received with thanksgiving.
If, notice the conditional if there. If it be received with thanksgiving. You see, that thanksgiving makes all the difference.
That's right.
Verse 5 finish.
End of 4. For it is sanctified by the word of God.
Stop there. It is what?
Sanctified.
It what? The meat.
That's right.
It is set aside. It is made special. It is consecrated. All these words I've just used is words by which the original Greek word translated sanctify can be translated. It is made special. It is consecrated. It is set aside by prayer. You mean, Brother Mitchell, just praying over that food? Make it special. Yes.
Yes.
Read verse 5 again.
For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Wait. It is set aside, made special by God, because you take it to God and give God thanks. Read on.
If thou put the brethren in remembrance of...
You may stop there. There are passages in Romans, Psalms, Philippians, Colossians that I intend to share with you, but time is up. Remember, the lesson is never lie about your blessings from God. We have not gone into that yet. Don't be ungrateful to God, whereby you encourage God to restrict his blessing on you or to take away your blessing. If we lie about the blessings that God gives us, that shows that we are not thinking right. Should I mention to you that one of the texts that we'll be looking at is the situation with Ananias and his wife? So when we get back to this lesson, there will be much to learn in us always be thankful to God, and the people of gratitude. Thank you.